This hour of the Jason Rand Show is brought to you by American Crawl Space and Pest Services. There's a lot of news happening all around the world and right here at home. It's time to find out what's trending.
What's trending in Seattle?
After a morning of intense pressure coming from you, the audience, calling and emailing the Seattle Human Services Department, well, lo and behold, the city of Seattle is now backtracking from a planned low-barrier encampment, a tent city, a tiny village city, in the South Lake Union neighborhood. Low-barrier meaning, oh, you can bring drugs and alcohol there. And now, finally, they are answering our questions. Weird how that works out, because yesterday I told you that we had some members of the Seattle administration that were ignoring our questions. We just wanted to find out whether or not a May 31st meeting was going to happen before they institute a tiny village that allows drug abusers in the heart of South Lake Union, one block from thousands of people living in brand new apartment complexes, one block away from a park and from Lake Union, one block from a Marriott hotel, dozens of businesses like coffee shops and restaurants. I just wanted to know if that meeting was going to take place, and they refused to tell me. And so yesterday, I gave out their phone numbers, their email address. You guys emailed, and I am so proud of something, because I always get a little bit nervous when we're talking about things like this, and I ask you on behalf of the show to reach out to someone. I like to tell everyone, be polite. But when we're talking about something that we're incredibly passionate about and angers us, sometimes we're not so polite. I'm victim to that all the time. I'm not particularly polite. And yet all the emails that were CC'd to me, and I got dozens of emails within just like 20 minutes of me putting up the call, every single person was super polite, very nice, but direct. We'd like to know, please, if there's going to be a meeting on May 31st. We confirmed, yes, there is going to be a meeting on May 31st, and that's where I need your help. You see, for days, as they were ignoring us, we found out, according to a flyer, that this tiny village will happen in South Lake Union, and it was upsetting to people who live in the neighborhood, like myself, like Kit Bender, who lives in South Lake Union, talking to Cairo 7.
If I'm walking by and I feel like there's a whole other situation going on here, I don't know how well it'd sit, honestly. Because it is so close to businesses and so many apartments.
The spot makes no sense whatsoever. And they were going to do this without actually informing the general public, not actually informing the businesses. So what I found out they did, thanks again to your hard work, they started to answer questions knowing that I was going to get the answer anyway. What I found out was they sent out this flyer that says it's going to happen. They only sent it to 25 people in the area who they deem business leaders, community leaders, telling them about the actual meeting on May 31st. And why did they do that? Here is my suspicion. They did that because they like to do the bare minimum. They want to have this meeting. They want to make sure that only people show up who support their plans. And then they can institute this tiny house village. And then when the neighborhood gets mad, they'll say, why didn't you show up to the meeting? We had it on May 31st. We put out flyers. We sent it out to these business leaders. But they did that knowing that the vast majority of people would never hear about this particular meeting. And so now I'm told they have backtracked. They're claiming, I don't believe this, they're claiming that this is not a done deal, that they're having this meeting on May 31st in the city of Seattle from 6 o'clock to 7:30 p.m. because they want to hear from the community. So now I need part two of your help. And I told you I would need this. I said yesterday was going to be part one. Here's part two. We complain about these tiny villages happening, these tent cities happening, all of these encampments. We complain, but we don't do anything beyond just complaining. You'll send me an email, you'll send me a text, you'll send me a tweet at Jason Rantz, and you'll say, I can't stand what the city has become. And then on the other hand, we'll get people, oh, I'm so glad I escaped Seattle and all their lunacy. Well, know that what happens in Seattle does not stay in Seattle. It spreads like a virus to Tacoma, to Bellevue, to Redmond, to Milton, the gem of Pierce County, to Everett and Shoreline. These things spread. So I need your help. I need you to show up to a meeting. Consider this the next Freedom Series. I am turning this into a KTTH event. We're going to create promos and everything. Except the difference is this one's going to be free, and I'm bringing donuts. If you would like to join me at this meeting, so we can finally tell Seattle administrators, no, you are not ruining our region. You are not impacting our businesses. You are not impacting our lifestyles, our safety. Because remember, that Ballard rapist, the homeless guy, lived at a tiny village that didn't even do the background check to find out whether or not he had a warrant out for his arrest. We don't want this in our neighborhood because it's dangerous and because it doesn't actually go after homelessness. I need you to show up to this meeting with me. If you text me the keyword homeless to 1-800-465-8770, text the keyword homeless, just the word homeless, to 1-800-465-8770, I will send you back the information on this meeting, where it's taking place, when it's taking place, how long it's expected to occur, and my promise to bring donuts. I want you to write this down. I want you to put it in your calendar. I want you to make sure that you show up to this meeting so we can actually take the city back, and not just the city of Seattle, so we can take this entire region back. Crazy people, ideologues, have run this area into the ground. Homelessness has gotten worse. Traffic has gotten worse. Rents have gone up. The opioid crisis has gotten worse. All while these people in power have passed legislation that they tell us will go after these problems. They have failed us. They have failed you. And before you know it, the failed policies of Seattle will end up extending everywhere else. It happens on a small level when we're talking about banning plastic bags, banning plastic forks, utensils, and so this stuff spreads. And then it gets a little bit bigger. They went after Uber in Seattle. They started to go after Uber elsewhere in Washington State. They talk about raising the minimum wage in Seattle. All of a sudden, it spreads all across the state. They talk about doing a head tax in Seattle. You don't think that's going to happen where you are? And all of a sudden, they're putting out this notion to the world of homeless people. Hey, we're giving you free stuff in tiny villages. We're even going to let you do drugs in your home that we're giving you. What do you think is going to happen? It's going to spread. It is going to come to Federal Way. It's going to come to Issaquah. It'll come to Milton, the gem of Pierce County. You need to speak up. You need to do some work. Just a little bit. Show up to the meeting with me. It's on May 31st, 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. It's at 415 Westlake Event Space. That's 415 Westlake Avenue North. It's in Seattle. It's right in South Lake Union. If you text the keyword homeless to the number 1-800-465-8770, I'll send you the information. I will be there. You don't have to speak. You can just cheer me when I speak. But I'm going to be talking there. I'm going to be standing up and telling them, no. No longer do you get to make these decisions surrounded by hand-selected folks who you bring to the meeting knowing that they already agree with you. You sent your emails. You made your phone calls to these people. That was the easy stuff. Now I'm asking you to sacrifice an hour and a half of your day, of your month, to actually speak up. Text the keyword homeless, right this second, homeless, to 1-800-465-8770. We're going to have the next Freedom Series event. We're going to have it at the 415 Westlake Event Center. I've got all the information online right now. Text the keyword homeless to 1-800-465-8770. Join me at this meeting. Let us fight back, and I'll pay you with donuts. I'm bringing, and they'll be Top Pot donuts. Some good stuff.
Not Krispy Kreme.
There's none near me. I'm not going into Soto. That's the closest place for me to get Krispy Kreme donuts.
Top Pot.
Top Pot's like two blocks away from this event space.
Okay.
It's more expensive. So why don't you just say, hey, look at you. You went for the expensive stuff.
So
instead,
I like Krispy Kreme better.
Oh, you didn't bring the ones I like.
Not about you, Jacob.
I like Krispy Kreme better, even though
yeah, you going to the meeting?
They waste their donuts. Maybe. I don't know.
You're not going to the meeting. This is even nonsense. I'll have Darren go. Producer Darren will go, and he's going to Facebook Live the whole thing. It'll be fun, so please join me. Text the keyword homeless to 1-800-465-8770. Now it's time to get you to work the right way with the right way traffic. Good morning, everybody. Live in the Online Trading Academy studio, it's the Jason Rantz Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. King County and Seattle city politicians, they're already fueled by and full of it. So why not power area trucks with poop? Isn't that a good lead-in? Yeah. Don't answer. Sewage. Shut up. Sewage is now being turned into biomethane gas to fuel some trucks in King County. The biomethane gas will fuel about 120 trucks for Recology. That's basically the dump trucks. Caitlin Hunt of King County Waste Water Division explains the whole process. This should sound fun as you're eating your Egg McMuffin.
Right now, we are standing around the settling tanks. So when you're at home, when you use your sink, shower, or flush your toilet, all your water is coming here. We need to immediately separate the water
by hand
from the solid material, all that organic material like the poop and the food.
And this is step two.
Yeah.
What is this?
So now we are at the digesters. All the poop and the food that we have removed from the water is coming over to our digesters. Our digesters are actually acting just like our own digestive system.
No, they're not.
They are heated to 98 degrees. The poop and the food in the digesters goes in.
We don't digest poop.
Every time she says poop and the food, it makes me laugh so hard.
Poop and the food.
Poop and the food.
It's and the food, right?
I know,
not
it's,
poop
I know,
in the food.
I know it's she's saying and the food, but
it
kind of sounds
poop
like
the
poop
food.
In the food.
It's like soap on a rope, poop in the food.
Methane gas and fertilizer comes out.
All right, so those were the steps to get this biomethane for powering the trucks, but this is really where the majority ends up.
Yeah.
What is this?
Exactly. So not only are we producing a fertilizer and a biogas, but we're mostly producing clean water. So this treatment plant, on average, is cleaning 80 to 90 million gallons of water a day.
And then you drink it?
They don't explain
what
happens to the water. Maybe toilet water? I don't know. I'd be fine with that, right? If it's cleaned and then it just goes into the toilet.
If you don't tell me. It's kind of like, remember Bill Gates? He peed in a cup and then they went through it and then he drank it.
Yeah.
Okay. If it scientifically is just water, right? It's water as we know it. It's 100% safe. There's not even a remnant of my urine in it or yours or whatever. Don't tell me.
Yeah.
I do not need you to tell me this. Because we all understand it's in our head. The reason why we don't eat certain foods has nothing to do other than we just know what we're eating and we're like, I don't want to eat a snail or a bug. What? Just don't tell me.
Yeah.
I'm okay with you not telling me. If I'm not going to notice the difference, do not tell me. In this case, this is good for the environment, says Recology King County General Manager Kevin Kelly.
What is now happening is the gas that is coming out of this plant is a renewable resource because it's derived from wastewater. The impact of that is that it significantly reduces both greenhouse gas emissions and pollutants that are produced locally. So we get to fuel our trucks with...
He's boring me. They just put it into the truck and it goes... I will say this, if they're ever in short supply of this particular product, I know a woman that they could reach out to. She's a Canadian, so I mean, you're going to have to do a shipment of poop, but she was mad when she went to a Tim Hortons cafe, a coffee shop, and she asked to use the bathroom, and apparently they don't have the Starbucks-style bathroom policy where now anyone can use it. It's kind of up to the discretion of the individual spot and the manager on duty. She goes, I need to use the bathroom. She can't use our restroom. I'm sorry. They got into a little bit of a heated back and forth. And she got so upset, this woman, that she wouldn't be allowed to use the restroom, that she used the coffee shop itself as the toilet. And to make sure everyone got the picture, and really that she sent home this message that will never be forgotten, she then picks up the poop and throws it at the employee. It's all caught on tape.
Yeah, you can watch the entire, the confrontation that starts with them yelling at each other and then her pulling her pants down. There's a weird amount of foresight. Like, she takes some napkins from the dispenser before she goes to...
Yeah, she knew what she was doing.
Yeah.
This was a premeditated poop.
Almost as if she had done it before. Like, that's what was my concern, is like, how often has this happened? Because she was
she
so confident.
But some people are like that, I guess.
I guess.
She didn't just squat to poop like you would maybe out in the woods.
Yeah.
She used the divider.
Leaned against a wall.
Basically leaning against the wall as the back of her new toilet. And then she did it. And then she threw it at the... But what I thought was most interesting about this was I assume she was homeless.
Mm-hmm.
She's not homeless.
Okay.
She just looks like she just got back from a yoga
That's true.
Spot, like, right?
And do you know anything about the woman?
They say the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, they detained her. They gave her the ticket to show up in court, and then they released her. But they didn't give us any information about this woman. Mm-hmm. If I'm just going off of looks, and this could be, looks obviously can be deceiving, it looks like she's just some random woman who just had to use the bathroom. They said no. She goes, you know what? This is the last straw. You've told me no for the last time. At the same time, I kind of envy part of this woman because I couldn't do that in public. I can't pee in a bathroom here if I think someone's about to come in.
There's times I think I need to go number two in my own home, and then I sit down, and it just doesn't happen, and I have to go about my day, and then later I'll do it. But, like...
Okay, you didn't need to tell us that.
Why not? We just talked about a woman pooping on the floor of a public building.
Yeah, but I don't
know
her. She's a stranger. We all know you. Oh, my God.
What? Sometimes.
Go out of the room. And you think I don't know what you do when you just leave in the middle of a segment and you go downstairs.
Yeah, if I go downstairs, you know what's
happening. I know exactly what you're doing.
More privacy.
Okay, thanks. This is Jason Ranch. So look, I am tired of the media being so hyper-focused on the city of Seattle that they end up ignoring all of the important and interesting and, yeah, sometimes quirky stories happening everywhere outside of Seattle. So weekday mornings at 7:30 right here on the Jason Ranch Show, thanks to Tulalip Resort Casino, we do something called The Big Local, where we talk about you and focus on the communities you live in, and we ignore the city of Seattle. Now, I didn't realize this, but did you know Pokemon Go is still a thing?
Yeah, I mean, I knew that they didn't, like, delete the app from all of our phones. Like, you could still use it. But
I've not heard Pokemon Go be spoken about. And for those of you who forgot, it's basically a real-world-ish game where you can walk around and you've got your phone in front of you, and as you're looking at the pavement in front of you, they superimpose a demon of a monster of some kind. I don't know what this universe is, and you're supposed to catch these little monsters.
They're like little pets that you have fight each other.
Yeah, and which is just
a
shame.
Kind of messed up when you think
really
about it.
Screwed up, and now all of a sudden you've got kids like, I like to see Fluffy go against muffins over there.
They don't die; they just faint. So you can always bring them back.
Uh-huh.
But you are still pet fighting.
Yeah, it's the equivalent of saying, "Oh, Fluffy, we just had her live with your aunt in Wyoming. That's why you'll never see her again." They die. So the nerds who are still playing Pokemon Go, they're using the game to clean up Sultan's Osprey Park, because apparently that park has a bunch of these little monsters in it, in the game. And a bunch of people would show up to the park and they were playing Pokemon Go to capture the monsters. And they're looking around like, oh, hey, we can all be buddies. And look at that sign on the wall there. It says adopt a park. Let's adopt this park and clean it up because, you know, we're probably the ones responsible for all the crap that's on the ground at this random park in Sultan. Right? I have a feeling that it's Pokemon Go people who are showing up and just throwing their candy wrappers on the ground. And so they're all like, hey, let's start a little club. Brandon Lasby with Sky Valley Pokemoners spoke to the Everett Herald, offering his group some instructions on how to clean up.
If you do see a needle or anything like that, we have a Sharps kit. So,
You know you're in Western Washington when cleaning up parks starts with a warning. Don't pick up any of the dirty needles.
Let Jason know.
Don't let me know.
And so today we're not going to be doing the soccer fields. So just around like the immediate area, and then stick to the park trail and have fun. And if you can, get some Pokemon in. Thanks, everybody, for showing up. Let's do it.
No one was that excited after. No one was like, yeah, let's go, baby. Let's clean up this park. The Herald says earlier this month, 16 people gathered on a sunny Saturday morning at the park. The group alternates Saturdays and Sundays to make cleanups possible for those who attend church or have other weekend commitments. I mean, I don't want to make fun of them because they're cleaning our parks. So that's good. But I do want to make fun of them because they're adults playing a game that's meant for kids. And there's something more pathetic about them doing it about a year after it was actually a thing.
I know the guy talking, what's his name, Brad or Ben or...
Brandon.
Brandon. He's an adult. I thought it looked like the other participants were kids.
Here's what they do. Let me tell you something. Young Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
They bring their kids to clean up the park while they're playing the games. Okay? That's what's going on. I guarantee you that's what's going on. Mommy, there's trash. Sweetheart, go pick that up. Not the needle. Pick up that. And mommy's going to catch this Pokemon. I wish I knew the name of one of
you
the...
Don't know. Ride
I'm going to check this Rolalala. What?
You can say, I'm going to catch a ride on.
I'm going to catch a ride on.
This, okay. That's the one okay. that looks like a rhinoceros, kind of.
You're a nerd.
Wait,
You're a
no.
nerd.
Everyone my age grew
you
up.
Are a nerd.
I'm sure Brian knows a bunch of Pokemon too.
Nerd.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Nerd.
We all grew up playing this all the time.
All nerds. I'm surrounded by nerds.
Everyone.
Huge part of our childhood, Jason.
Yeah. Your nerdy childhood. I'm not denying that it's a part of your childhood. I'm simply saying you're all nerds.
Oh, whatever. You grew up. When did you grow up? In the 90s or something? I mean, wait, the 80s. What was your nerd thing? You played.
We had Pogs.
Pet Rocks?
No, Pet Rocks was like the 70s.
Yeah.
Or earlier than that. I don't even remember. Pet Rocks was before my time.
Pogs. What are Pogs?
Pogs are the little milk caps. Mm-hmm. They're like little cardboard things with creatures on them.
Okay.
And you had a slammer, which is the dumbest name for something that you use to slam the Pogs. It's like it's so on the nose. And you slam the Pogs, and if you turn them over by the force of the slammer, you get to keep that Pog because you would play someone else.
So you really just got them off of things of milk?
No, I mean, that's the shape they're in.
Okay.
They're just circular. They're about the size of
discs. Then they're just discs.
They're not called discs. Well, what do you want from me? I didn't name
You're
them.
Such a nerd.
They're called Pogs.
What a nerd playing with milk caps.
I didn't play them. I kind of did, but not really. I got into it for a day.
What was your favorite Pog?
I never got that far. I just did it because all the other kids were doing it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only reason. And I realized immediately this is dumb. This is an elevated, evolved version of Jax. Remember Jax? Like, that's all this is. It's just like a newer version of that. It's the same concept. It's like it's Uno meets Jax. That's all that it is. And then we had baseball cards. That was the other thing that people actually, they didn't play with them, but they bought them and they traded them and they got the gross piece of gum in them that would, once you chewed on it, was like, it was almost nothing. It was mm-hmm. like you didn't have anything in your mouth. And then we had the candy cigarettes. That's it.
Bunch of nerds. Not having Pokemon.
Oh, yeah, all you nerds, all interested in baseball.
Yes, baseball is the nerdy sport.
You athletic nerd.
Nothing
Here
happens.
We are playing Pokemon Go, and I'm catching rhinoceroses.
Baseball is a sport for people who like numbers. Like, that's all it is. It's just like an opportunity for statistics. It's so boring. It's the boringest sport.
Boringest?
Yes, the most boring. Boringest.
No, I pick a lane, man.
I can do both.
It's
the most boring, boringest sport.
There's one. It's most boring.
It's a nerdy sport, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, okay. Go trim your mustache.
Go watch a documentary on baseball.
I'm not saying it's exciting. I don't like baseball. I played baseball,
yeah.
But I didn't watch it.
You were a little nerd.
I wasn't a little nerd. Yes. I was an all-star pitcher, baby. Yeah.
The nerdiest kind, then.
The coolest
kind. Nerdiest kind of player.
I got all the babes. They all showed up for me. And then I turned them away.
You were disinterested.
I summarily turned them away and said, not my thing, ladies. Go up to the catcher over there. I hear he's into that sort of thing. I have an update on the adorable cats that were left in that sealed box in Auburn. We talked about it a few weeks ago. I'm presuming it was a dude, put these kittens in an Amazon box and then sealed the box for some reason. Left it on the side of the road. Someone found it, called Auburn police. They ended up connecting with the Auburn Valley Humane Society. And they haven't made any arrests that I've seen yet in connection with this case, because that's animal cruelty. These poor kittens would have died. And they're kittens. They're not cats. They're like adorable kittens. They're so tiny and so cute. And so the Auburn Valley Humane Society, they got the kittens into better shape. They fed them. They took care of them. And as of now, every single one was adopted. So that's a good ending. Although I do get sad when we break up litters. I know you have to, and we always do that, because no one's going to come in and say, I'd like to adopt 14 cats.
Well, there's not 14 litter
There was
cats.
Like eight of them in this
eight?
Litter.
Okay. I think
right?
I've
there
seen,
were seven or eight.
I think that's a normal range. Like, I think four.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, that's
right.
they're brothers and
People
sisters.
People don't want that many.
Yeah, but yeah, exactly, except for the crazy cat lady. The person who comes in and says, I'd like to adopt seven or eight cats, that's the one you go, we're going to be a hard pass on that. Because we know what's going to end up happening. You're going to die of a heart attack, and they're going to eat your carcass, and then we're going to have these cats back in our homes, and then no one's going to want to adopt the cat because they're a little cannibal cat.
The average litter size for cats is 3 to 5 kittens.
Well, this one had 7 or 8. That's what I thought I saw in the photo. Maybe there were some additional ones. Maybe the guy was just going around the area collecting cats, putting them in a box.
Finding all the kittens.
Yeah, he's just like, he just doesn't like kittens and just came upon a whole bunch of them.
Oh, he doesn't like them. I thought he would be collecting them.
Well, because he doesn't like, he's collecting them from the neighborhood and giving them away.
Yeah, we don't even know if they're all related at all.
Yeah, that's my, so now I've talked myself into feeling a little bit better about it. Maybe they don't care about each other. Maybe they hate each other. Like, I didn't want to be this stupid cat's brother or sister. This cat's selfish. This one just got an attitude the entire time. This one's going on and on about Pokemon Go and how it's not for nerds. The Jason Rantz Show. Welcome back to the Jason Rantz Show. Send us your text messages on the None Better Tax Resolution Hotline, 1-800-465-8770. That's 1-800-465-8770 for your text messages. Happy Friday. I hope everyone is getting ready to end their week and have some fun this weekend. I have to tell you, though, I'm going to be the bearer of bad news. We have yet another anti-gun study out there. It's a new study paid for by an anti-gun group, and this anti-gun group found that guns are bad.
What?
I know. Grandmothers Against Gun Violence funded a UW study. It was put together by Aaron Morgan, who's a researcher at UW School of Public Health, and they came up with two main findings. Number one, they say 3 of every 5 gun owners in Washington state do not lock up their guns, which they interpret as you not safely storing guns. Now, of course, that's not necessarily true. Simply not locking up in a safe your gun does not mean that you do not safely store your gun. How could that be? But the left's argument on guns says we have to always put it in gun safes. No, you don't. I'd prefer it if you would under certain circumstances. But if you live alone, if you live out in the middle of nowhere, and let's say you've got a gun and you put it in a drawer somewhere, loaded or unloaded, that's not inherently dangerous. If you're literally the only person in that home, it is not dangerous. But what about the person who breaks in? Well, I hope that you don't then have to go to your gun safe in the middle of the night as that break-in is happening and try to get your gun. I'd rather it be available for you to use to protect yourself. But because it's not put in a storage facility, a safe, they're automatically telling you, oh, well, that means it's not safe. That's ridiculous. That is their bias at play, and that should be rejected. The second part of their claim is perplexing to me. They say gun owners who don't store their guns safely are at a higher risk for suicide. But then they say, that said, mental health factors could not explain the increase in the suicide rate. So they accidentally committed suicide? Is that the claim that they're making? That somehow this gun casts a spell on them? Gets them to kill themselves? The study says they surveyed people, right? They surveyed about 35,000 people in Washington state. Presumably, they didn't survey people post-suicide, so I'm not exactly sure how they came up with that particular data point. But the implication here is very clear. What they're saying is if you do not lock up your gun, you won't necessarily be suicidal or as suicidal. And they're claiming that has nothing to do with mental health. Okay. What this does have to do with demonizing gun culture. That's what they want you to do. They want you to demonize gun culture, and this is them doing their bit of work on it. They're in the business of making sure that guns are seen as inherently dangerous, that even if you don't live with a mental disorder that might make you predisposed to suicidal thoughts, that just having the gun around makes you think about suicide. That is, of course, absurd. On its face, that is absurd, but this is what they do. This whole movement was part of the Seattle push to do more gun violence research for Harborview Medical Center. It's what they put some of the money from the ammunition tax into, only to tell us stuff we already know. And this is just another one of those studies that they put out there that's meant to get you to think twice about owning a gun because they do not want you to have that right to own a gun. They've tried really, really hard to get rid of the Second Amendment, but they know that they can't do that. They know they don't have the support nationwide to do that. So what they end up doing, state by state, city by city, they try to pass different laws that make it more difficult for you, the legal gun owner, the one who doesn't break the law, to go ahead and enjoy your Second Amendment right. They don't like that people feel comfortable around guns. They don't like that people own guns. They don't like that people think it's fun to go shooting. So they put out study after study after study and create law after law after law that goes about restricting your rights. And all the while, you know who this does not impact? You know who doesn't buy into this propaganda? You know who doesn't follow the laws that are instituted on guns? The bad guys. The gangbangers. The people who purchase guns outside of the legal system. No, not taking advantage of any loophole that doesn't actually exist. These are the people who go and buy it illegally on the black market. And they use it to kill other bad guys. Sometimes they use it to kill good people. And in the cases where they go after the bad guys, don't really care. Bad guys killing bad guys means less bad guys. Where I do care, bad guy going after a good guy. And I'm glad that that good guy has access to a weapon to protect themselves. We played that audio a few days ago. That woman, grandmother, how old was she? 70? In Philadelphia?
That sounds right, yeah.
All she did was grab a handgun as someone was trying to break into her home. I'm glad she had access to that gun. I'm glad that that gun that she had access to wasn't, according to this study and its logic, properly stored, safely stored. Because she ended up using that gun to protect her from some thug, 45-year-old loser, who could have easily done her harm, could have easily killed or injured her seriously. She used that gun to protect herself. I'm glad she had that right. I'm glad that she doesn't buy into this anti-gun culture that the left is trying to push. That culture is dangerous. That culture will take away a lot of our rights. That culture should be rejected. This study should be rejected. Shocker, Grandmothers Against Gun Violence funded a study that shows you guns are bad. But we're not supposed to question any of the bias here. That sounds cool. When the tobacco industry funds studies that say cigarettes are fine, we get rightfully upset. When anti-gun folks fund policies that end up coming up with anti-gun results, okay, that's cool. They're just doing the science, man. Hashtag science.